The first lesson for today is from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. You are the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today. By loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and blossom. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The second lesson for today is from the 5th chapter of Matthew. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment, and if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council, and if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first to be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never give out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, please let the words that come out of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations in all of our hearts and minds be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. And we pray in his name. Amen. Well, last week I had a dream. That's nothing new. I'm sure we've all had that happen once in a while we're sleeping, and maybe even when we're not. But I don't usually remember mine, but once in a while the dream lingers and I ponder its message. So, in my dream, I was attending a workshop, and I don't know what the workshop was about, and I don't know where it was, and I don't know who was teaching it, but we were on break. And I was talking with other people. And suddenly a person ran up to me and said, "Look at their skin," pointing to everyone there. "They're all encased in green. Don't you know that 65% of all people die of a heart attack?" Well, I woke right up and wondered, who is dying of a heart attack? Who should I warn and take to the hospital? But over the next few days, I began to wonder, you know, maybe that dream wasn't about a physical heart attack. Instead, I wondered if my dream was about people dying of a spiritual heart attack. Because my dream came back to me as I read our scripture passage from Deuteronomy this morning, part of it that said, "I warn you, if you have a change of heart, you will most certainly die." That sounds like a threat. Does God really mean to scare us by this scripture passage or make us feel guilty? No. My dream made me realize this scripture reading has to be God's loving warning to us that changing from living God's way to living our own way could cause a spiritual heart attack. And God is desperately trying to reach each of us and all of us to help us regain our footing on the real pathway that God created for us. Not the pathway of our own making where we stumble and fall, where we are in danger of dying of a spiritual heart attack. I don't know, what can all of this mean? Moses in Deuteronomy, as you heard, ends by saying, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying God's voice, and holding fast to God. For God is your life and your length of days." Well, but how could our way of living cause us to die of a spiritual heart attack? Maybe Jesus' words in Matthew this morning can help us. He warns us not to casually swear, not to be hateful and mean if and when getting a divorce, not to look at others with lust, not to insult anyone, not to call anyone a fool, not to get caught up in courts. Wait a minute. No swearing, no hatefulness if divorcing, no desiring another lustfully, not getting caught up in courts, not be angry, not insult anyone, not call someone a fool. That's just the kind of world that we live in today, isn't it? Oh, that must be why my dream was warning me about spiritual heart attacks. Because that is the world we live in. But God didn't create God's people to live that way. Jesus was warning us too. And when we do, we become spiritually unhealthy. Changing our hearts to living our world's way instead of God's way must cause our spiritual arteries to clog over time. And eventually we succumb to a spiritual heart attack. Our spirituality is dead. Our connection to God is gone. Wow. Is this really a problem? I have never thought of myself as in danger of a spiritual heart attack. But Jesus certainly is warning us, Moses too. So how do we treat this condition? What can we do to make ourselves spiritually healthy again? Jesus offers an example in our scripture reading this morning. So, when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gifts to God. You know, that reminds me of a story that Jesus told one time about a wasteful, lavish, prodigal son. The younger son took his father's inheritance and spent it lavishly, and then had to come back home with nothing. I wonder what that younger brother would have said to his father and older brother when he returned home. And I wonder what they said to him. Let's listen in to their conversations. How could my younger brother do this to me? Can't you just hear the older son spitting that out to the father? How could my younger brother go and waste everything and be so irresponsible and get into so much trouble and then come back here? Nothing here belongs to him. I have worked my fingers to the bone to keep this household going. I have worked like a slave for you, Father. I have never disobeyed your command. And yet, you have never once celebrated me. Yes, all that you have, Father, you divided between us. And now his part is gone. And do you expect me to just take him in and support him from my share? Better he should have been dead. I really never expected him to be found. And now you want me to forgive him? His return isn't just for this moment. You realize that. He expects to stay here again. I know it was his home. And you have made it welcoming to him by throwing a party and inviting all the neighbors. I will never forgive him. Let him move back in. I will hate him forever. My son, you want revenge. You should forgive. No, Father, I want justice. I'm a good person. Do I need forgiveness? This son of yours treated you as if you were dead by asking for his inheritance. And now he's back wanting more. He got everything that was his. And now he's returned and a mooch besides. Yes, son, you want him punished. Of course he did wrong. But once you truly loved him like a brother, if you truly loved him, remember this. Real love doesn't have to win by getting even. By refusing to celebrate at his party, you're only making yourself miserable. Look at you, all angry and upset. Everything here is yours. When he asked for his inheritance, I gave it to him. I gave you yours, too. Don't be so selfish now. Me? Selfish? I'm a good person. Remember that, Father. Yes, you're a good person. But I want you to be more than that. I want you to be God's person. I want you to be a loving, forgiving older brother. I forgive him. I forgive you too. Father, what are you saying? You forgive me? I'm a good person. Do I need forgiveness? My son, your brother has lost his self-respect and his self-confidence. He has to live with the knowledge that his actions have hurt those he loves. He hurt me deeply, more than you will ever know, and I forgive him. But your lack of welcoming him hurts me deeply too. If you are only a good person and not his brother, then you do need forgiveness. I forgive you too. The father, I'm sure, returned to the party. But after that, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened. We can only imagine the two brothers' conversation. Would the older son reject or accept his younger brother? I'm sorry I didn't come to your party and celebrate your return. It was just a little bit too much for me to take. I felt hurt that you didn't come to my party. I had thought about you so many times while I was feeding those pigs. I knew I didn't deserve to come back. I humbly asked Father to forgive me. I didn't think about asking you to forgive me too. I know that you have been the one that's done all the work. I know that you have been the one to oversee our family's farm. I know my actions have made it so difficult for you and lowered our family's status in our community with all of my terrible actions away from home. I just didn't have anywhere else to go. I came back not even hoping that you would allow me to earn a living working as your household slave. I just wanted to be treated as a hired hand, someone you pay only if you have extra work. But I didn't know that Father would put his robe and shoes on me and treat me as a son again. I haven't been a son to him. You deserved the celebration that I got. Please forgive me, my brother. I'm sorry for not being here all those years when you needed me. I'm sorry for hurting you. Well, okay, I do forgive you. I'm relieved and happy that you are home. I have missed you so much. We all have. I'm so grateful to God that you're alive and found. Please forgive me for being so angry. Let's work together, my brother. Let's let go of the past. Let's begin again now, today. And I'll explain to you all that I know about farming. Sweet voices. Wait, brother, I know about farming too. I've spent lots of time feeding pigs, remember? I have some good ideas for how to change things. What? You want me to take you back as a brother, and now you want me to change what I do? Don't you know that's a little bit too much to take? My brother, take me or not, it's up to you. But I'm not coming back the same brother who left. I am very different than you. So I guess we can't be brothers. You're just a good person. I forgive you. Wait a minute. When did it become bad to be a good person? Do I need forgiveness? Oh, God, what is going on here? I'm not trying to be a good person. I'm trying to be your person. Yes, let my younger brother return, but not to bread and to bread and water, not a fatted calf. Let him wear sackcloth, not a new robe. Let him be in ashes, not a new ring. Let him come in tears, not a celebration. Kneel in humble and repentance, not dancing. Weren't his disgusting, embarrassing actions away from home bad enough? Does forgiveness mean he gets to change me by what he's been through? My brother, I learned things while I was feeding pigs. I learned that God loves everyone. In God's kingdom, everyone is forgiven because of Jesus. In God's kingdom, when one person repents, everyone celebrates, and everything changes. Good becomes bad. You are the good older son who stayed home and made a living for your family. But if your goodness turns you into a rigid, angry person, then that is bad, and you need to be forgiven. Let me tell you about forgiveness. Believe me, I know all about it. I was bad for so long. I couldn't even forgive myself. I didn't deserve to be forgiven. I had wasted all of our father's inheritance that he gave me. I knew that. But when life just got so tough, I couldn't take it. I figured, what did I have to lose? I knew I didn't deserve to be forgiven, but I had nowhere else to go. And I asked our Father for forgiveness. And I was forgiven. The only difference between you and me is I knew I was bad. You think you're good. But good turns into bad when you think that way. Because forgiveness isn't about good or bad. It's about doing things God's way. My brother, I have forgiven you for being bad. Please now forgive me for being good. And now, let us forgive God's way. Time for me stopped when you left home. My life was put on hold. I missed you. I worried that you were getting into trouble. Now that we're together again, let us start going from where time stopped. Let us catch up and listen to each other's stories. And let us take each other's experiences into consideration. You may be surprised. I don't do things the way you remember either. Let's let our lives rock this world so that our farming becomes a worthwhile and valid ministry to all the people around. My brother, I'm no longer a good person. Neither are you any longer a bad person. Now we are God's people living together in forgiveness. And by the way, I'm so glad you're home.